Yeah, Dave and the family, they brought a recognition of, you know, homelessness to the area that brought a few of our organisations together. I think the great thing of what he's doing is just highlighting the problems that are evident.
Welcome to week two of the Smoke and Soul Project podcast. This week, Dave and Cara are cooking for those in need in Bendigo, Victoria and Albury, New South Wales. You'll hear from local charity partners, Mad Cow and Carevan, as they tell us about the work they're doing to support those in need, as well as the impact of the visit of the Smoke and Soul Project. Dave also provides an insight in what it takes to prep and deliver each food service. Next, we'll be heading to Bendigo.
When we served them our food, it just energized them. They were up and about, you know, they were smiling, thankful. And I think that's a constant theme, is that this is transcending simply serving food. It's giving people hope and happiness.
Dave, g'day. You've been in Bendigo today. How did that go?
Yeah, mate, I have. It was awesome. Really excellent experience. Slightly different experience than what we've had. This wasn't a barbecue event, but it was a food service event. You know, we had to do something a little bit different here because given where Mad Cow is, they're right in the heart of Bendigo, literally opposite the town hall. They've got very limited outdoor space. In fact, they don't have any outdoor space at all. There isn't any parking or anything. There is a little park that's opposite them, but if we were to do a barbecue event, they sort of said that was going to be very hard and we needed some permits and, you know, clearance to get access to that space. And anyway, we just thought, let's just go easy. And they said, look, if you want to serve some food, we will give you full access to our kitchen, which I thought, yep, that is fine. And I just thought, what would I be able to serve? And I came up with an idea of serving hot dogs, but just really fancy hot dogs with, you know, fried off onion, bacon. And then we had some sides prepared that we did yesterday, the day before service, that we had some chili beans and some fried rice. So I just had to simply heat all of it up. But yeah, slightly different than what we've had. You know, we didn't do low and slow today, you know, but it was still rich and wholesome and full of happiness and hope, I suppose. Yeah.
Fantastic. I did see the pictures on socials and they looked absolutely spectacular. How many meals did you serve today?
Yeah, well, I'm happy to say that on average they do between 30 and 40 people, and I had catered enough for 50, and yeah, so I'm happy that I served all the food I had, all 50 servings went, and everyone was happy. The feedback I got was excellent. Everyone was really happy, lots of smiles I heard from the front of house. And so I was in the kitchen and I had there was two volunteers for the AM and then two others in the afternoon. So out of the four that were serving front of house, they all headed into the kitchen and said, everyone's really happy, they're really loving it. So I was able to head out there in front of house for, you know, when it was slower, I could sort of say hello to, you know, everyone who was in there. But yeah, as I said, the feedback I got was excellent. Everyone was really happy.
Fantastic. And can you describe what does this venue look like?
Yeah, so they're in the process of sort of establishing a cafe type arrangement in there, but then they've got sort of like a separate, what I would describe best as, you know, like a lounge. They've got some coffee tables, bean bags, just to really make it really homely. So the cafe section is only open like early morning for coffees, but then they open up this lounge area, you know, where they serve food out of, and people can just basically pop in from 9 a.m. till 3 in the afternoon. So I had to have, you know, food ready for service at 9 a.m. And yeah, it was actually not long after 9 a.m. you know, I had an order for 3 hot dogs, and so fortunately I had everything heated up so I could serve them early. But it was just a nice, it was a nice flow throughout the 6-hour service. Yeah, so and then by about 2:30 I'd basically served out, and yeah, and everyone was happy. And how they've set it up in there is awesome. As I said, they've got like lounges, bean bags, coffee tables. It's a really homely feel where those in need and who are sleeping rough can just, you know, escape the cold and relax.
So were there many people staying around and having conversations?
Everyone was obviously really thankful for the food, but to be honest, the majority of the people that came in just kind of stuck to themselves, and just, you know, I got lots of handshakes, you know, lots of handshakes, lots of people that were thankful for the food and said it was awesome and it was excellent. And yeah, this was if I'm to sort of paint a picture, this was a bit different to say the Mount Gambier barbecue, because the Mount Gambier one, you know, we were serving people in need, not necessarily homeless. These are people that are just really struggling to afford to eat. So these are people that are not necessarily homeless. But whereas this one, Bendigo, you know, you could tell these people have been sleeping on the, you know, on the streets. These were people that were doing it really rough. You know, they just, you know, they had been sleeping out overnight, and they just wanted a space to come inside to relax. Yeah, so it was a bit of a different clients, but as I said, everyone was extremely happy, extremely thankful. You know, gave them the opportunity to eat something else.
Terrific. Well, it's one thing that's coming across to me in the conversation so far in the last week, of every place is slightly different in regards to the 4 places that you've cooked for at this stage. Is that how you see it?
Yeah. I mean, everywhere is slightly different. You know, the clientele, I guess, is slightly different, but there's a consistent message, a consistent theme that what we are doing is more than food. You know, just from the, you know, the volunteers that work at Mad Cow, they were sort of like relaying, you know, that obviously, you know, they have regulars, and they were saying these people are usually sort of very, you know, you don't get a lot out of them. They don't really say a lot. They don't smile a lot either. But they were saying when we served them our food, it just energized them. They were up and about, you know, they were smiling, thankful. And I think that's a constant theme, is that this is transcending simply serving food. It's giving people hope and happiness.
Do you think that's because you and Cara and the girls are coming and you're a new face, you're doing something different?
Yeah, not so. I don't know. I think it feels like, I think, well, for starters, I think it's because we're serving maybe a different sort of food, you know, perhaps food that they haven't had before. We're serving a different menu, so I think it's partly that. But then I also think it's got a lot to do with the fact that there's a story and a journey behind us, and I guess I would like to think that it gives them a sense of there's other people out there that, you know, that care for them. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said earlier, just I would, you know, like I was in the kitchen, and if I had a second or a moment, I would sort of slip out and look around, and then the volunteers would sort of announce, oh, this is, you know, this is Dave, he's over here from Adelaide, and I got lots of handshakes and lots of, you know, high fives, and but just, you know, it was a simple just thanks a lot, means a lot, which is all. I mean, I don't even ask for that, but the fact that they say that though shows that this means more to them. As I said, it actually means more to them that we're showing up over the actual, you know, the actual food that we're serving.
Smoke and Soul's charity partner in Bendigo, Victoria is Mad Cow. It's great to have Matt from Mad Cow joining us on the pod. Matt, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Wallace.
Great to have you on board, and I understand you're a large organisation, but I do need to ask you initially, what does Mad Cow stand for?
Yes, it stands for Make a Difference, Change Our World.
Fantastic. And how long has the organisation been in existence?
So we've been going since 2010, so 16 years now.
Can you tell me about the work that you do in Bendigo supporting your local community?
Yeah, so there's a number of things we do, and a lot of it is based around providing support to vulnerable people, but we're doing it from a business model perspective. Then the end result of all that is that we pour all our resources into our homeless services. So we have a business that provides employment opportunities for Karen refugees, and that's stuff like cleaning, gardening, NDIS support work. And we have an op shop, and then we have some mentoring programs and a youth theatre and a few other things. And then we have, at the end of all that, so to speak, is our homeless services. And that is where we look after those that are sleeping rough in Bendigo.
So what does that include? That includes obviously feeding as one component.
Yeah, so we see ourselves as, we're not the experts by any stretch of the imagination, but what we want to do is provide the most basic of needs for them and provide a space that is trusted and they feel safe and warm and all those sort of things, particularly at this time of year. And we build around that other support. So we will do food, lots of coffee, tends to be two coffees, three sugars is a pretty standard order. We do laundry services, clothes, a lot of clothes. We store their goods for them, showers, those sort of things. And it's their own cafe space. And then we have the likes of drug and alcohol workers, housing workers. We have a Centrelink worker that's full-time in our space, so they can get the supports they need around them rather than trying to navigate the incredibly complex system out there.
Dave and Cara and his family were there on Monday. Can you tell me about that experience and the service that they provided?
They cooked up some gourmet dogs, hot dogs that is, and they were very, very well received. Not only for our guests, but also the volunteers said the whole day was just a really good vibe. It was just, it was also something out of the box for everyone. So it was really good. It went down really, really well. Obviously, the food was extraordinarily good. And Dave's just a fantastic fella. And what a great heart to reach out to people like this and to organisations. And we were more than happy to provide that space on the day. We don't have any sort of yard space. It's a building in the CBD, so it's not like we could set up. But he used our kitchen and cooked up these fantastic hot dogs. And that's probably doing them a disservice to call them a hot dog. They are fairly gourmet. Yeah, so great day.
Oh, fantastic. One of the things that Dave and Cara and the Smoke and Soul Project is endeavouring to do is to highlight the work that has been done in local areas. I'm interested to know in regards to what you may have seen as an organisation over the last couple of years. Has the demand for your services changed at all?
The demand has definitely changed, and the landscape has changed a bit in terms of what's happening there out there on the street. So we were out of our building for a couple of years while we refurbished it. It was rebuilt for this work, and coming back into the space, and we were working out and about, but not in anywhere in one location. The numbers from when we opened the doors in February, by the middle of May, there was 60 new guests had registered, which is a lot in Bendigo. And the other thing we've seen increasing on the street, which is really sad to watch play out, is the mental health stuff that's going on out there and the lack of support for those that are struggling with mental health. And if you can imagine, if you're having your worst of worst days and that's going to play out on the street, you've got nowhere to hide. It's really, really hard to watch. And with that, we've seen an increase in incidents and those sort of things. But it is tough out there. It is really tough. And what we are providing, we hope, is making a bit of a positive difference for them. And we're in for the long haul. I think that's the other thing to mention. Yeah, you've got to be in for the long haul to support those that are living on the street. So we've certainly seen a shift in people, just the complexity of their needs.
So your guests are mainly people who are living on the street?
Yeah, they're rough sleepers, yeah.
Right. And has that profile of age changed at all?
Yeah. Yeah. The age, maybe not so much, but we've seen more women on the street than we've ever seen before. Yeah, which if you're sleeping rough and you're a female, that is extremely vulnerable. Yeah.
So if there are people in Bendigo or are listening elsewhere and would like to support your work, how can people help you?
Yeah, there's a number of ways. We have an amazing community in Bendigo. And so there's the simplest things of, particularly this time of year, jackets, beanies, gloves, those sort of things, which are always very valuable. And we go through a lot of sleeping gear, you know, sleeping bags and that sort of stuff, and clothes. But obviously we rely fairly heavily on donations as well to do what we do. So there, you can go to our Mad Cow website, which is madcow.org.au, and you can click a few buttons there if you'd like to support us financially. But there's lots of ways. If you're in Bendigo and you want to be part of the work, then yeah, we survive on volunteers. We only have a few paid staff, and we're very reliant on our volunteers to help us do what we do.
And you mentioned the way to get in contact is through the website. Can you give me that address again?
Yeah, it's www.madcow.org.au.
Matt, thanks so much for sharing an insight in regards to the work that you do. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for giving us the time today.
First one of week two done. Bendigo, yep. Where are you off to next?
Albury next. Don't ask me what I expect from Albury. I got no idea at all, other than I know it's lunch service. So head off there and then, yeah, just basically start again. Meet up with the charity. We're partnered with a foundation called the Care Van Foundation. And yeah, I'll see them, catch up with them. They'll show me the space that they want me to serve in. And then, yeah, I'll just figure it out from there, figure out what I'm serving. I have a few things in my head that I could possibly serve. The fact it's lunch impacts heavily on what I serve. So, yeah, I'll just have to work it out.
From the very first person I spoke to, she just made the comment that you'll work it out and you'll deliver.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're 4 for 4.
Yeah, yeah. This is awesome. It's been awesome. It's been an awesome family experience, personal experience. You know, Charlotte hopped in there again today or at service, and Charlotte, you know, hopped in there and helped out and, you know, helped to serve some hot dogs and, which is excellent for us to see. Really good.
How does that make you and Cara feel?
Oh, extremely proud, you know, just even in the, you know, the week that we've, you know, since we've left Adelaide, or slightly over a week since we left Adelaide, we've seen a huge leap in her confidence, her willingness to help out. Yeah, we're just really, you know, so proud of her. And it's just, you know, it'll be interesting just seeing her evolve over the next 7 weeks. Yeah, because, yeah, she's already really just taken this experience on and loved it. And, we're really happy with, we're happy with everything, really. So, yeah.
Dave, great to speak with you. Safe travels, and we'll catch up with you after the Albury food service.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks a lot, Wallace. Albury, we partnered with the Care Van. They had been really excited to have us early on. Have had some really good conversations with Stevie from Care Van. I remember that we spoke way back in October for the first time, I reckon last year, and they were on board early, and they had been putting posters up marketing this event, you know, which was excellent. Their enthusiasm for it, you know, was awesome. Arrived in Albury, didn't take us long to unpack, and I sort of wanted to catch up with her as soon as I was able to. She was excellent. She showed me around Albury. I went to their existing head office. They're currently in the process of shifting to a new head office, you know, which is larger. It can, that they can hold more items, more food. I think they can actually set it up to sort of serve out of, whereas their current warehouse is, you know, it is a warehouse, so they sort of can't really use it as a space to serve out of. Their new space, once it gets fitted out, will be excellent. So anyway, so she showed me their spaces that they currently have, and then we went to the spot that I'm going to be setting up. And yeah, it when, so we went right sort of into the heart of Albury, center of town, very public space, and we were going along and I was expecting her to kind of take me to like the back of like a park or something where it's a bit more but, and we sort of we were sort of in the, you know, the high street, and she stopped and said, okay, this is it, this is the space. And I was sort of said, what, you know, here? And she said, yeah. And it was it's very public, most definitely the most public barbecue event that we've had. You know, usually, as I said, usually in the past, you know, we do barbecues and we're feeding the homeless, and I'm not going to go as far to say as we're hidden, but you know, we're sort of in a area where the clientele, I guess, are used to being, they feel safe. But I think the caravan really wanted to use this event as an opportunity to raise awareness of what they do as well as what we're doing. So I think it had mutual benefit for us having it in such a public area. So yeah, I mean, I think I said on the vlog, you know, if there was ever a time to not be self-conscious about people looking at you, or, you know, sort of, yeah, Albury was it, you know, that it was a time for me to just, I guess, let go of what, of being self-conscious or anything. And yeah, they were really excited to have some low and slow, which sort of, again, being a lunchtime service, you know, that, and I didn't have the 10, 12 hours to get my food on early, you know, so had to do a lot of the food the day before. Wanted to give them some, like, a real low and slow experience, because I feel that's what they were sort of, you know, hoping for. Yeah, so came up with the idea of pulled beef tacos, you know, which I've served in events leading up to this, you know, at Lindock Oval, we served those and people loved them. And then also at Royal Adelaide as well, we served them there and everyone loved them also, you know, there. So I thought this is a good opportunity to pull something out of the bag, which I know is a, you know, is a winner. I just thought we would accompany those tacos with some wings, and also a bit of like barbecued potatoes, so we could sort of really fill our barbecue box full of, you know, wholesome, home cooked, low and slow. Yeah, so given that it was a 12:30 service till about 2:30, I think, I just really didn't want to put myself under the pump and have to be hurrying to get food on and have it out. So sourced all my food the day before, and then pretty much did all my food the afternoon beforehand. Took me about 6 hours to get it, because like what I had to do was I had to cut my pieces of meat into like smaller pieces to get them to cook down a bit faster. And so yeah, overall that took me about 6 hours the day before. So, and we had access to the site from 7 a.m. or so. So the other thing as well is Caravan had gone to the effort of organising a council permit for the space, because it's a very public area, so they had to have a permit. So they explained that, you know, we only had that space in the centre of Albury from 7 a.m. until 3 in the afternoon, so it was important that I could only get there at that time. So I had to be super organised the day before, have all the food basically. And so on the day of service, I was actually really relaxed, because, you know, everything was finished. I just had to heat it up. So, you know, packed everything up, went into Albury and set up, and you know, had all the food on by about 8:30, sort of just slowly heating up. And yeah, people, you know, heading into work, into their office, going past, asking what's happening, asking if they could come back and have something to eat. And yeah, so the hardest part about all of this was going to be figuring out who is in need of food and who isn't, because I didn't want to be serving food to people who are, you know, out on their lunch hour. It's super important to me that the food gets to the people that need it most. I didn't want food to be handed out just that people that had come out from their office who were, you know, who were on their lunch hour. Caravan knew what they were doing. They understand Albury. They understand their clients. I said to them, look, I can serve the food. I've got the food. I will leave it up to you to vet, I guess, who's who. And it was actually a lot easier than we thought. They had about 3 or 4 volunteers just standing in front of where I was serving, not necessarily telling people to go away if they weren't homeless, but they were just explaining to them who I was, who they are, what the importance of what we were doing is, and explaining that the food is for those who are really struggling. And a good way, one of the volunteers, Rochelle, she put it in a really good way, that she said, she was saying to people, this is food for people that can't afford to eat, that are food insecure, that are finding it hard to make ends meet. If you feel like this is you, then by all means go up and get something, some food. And it kind of put the onus on them to sort of make a decision and go, am I struggling to eat? If I am, I'll go get something to eat. And the majority of people said, oh, this is awesome, love it, and they moved on. So we were extremely fortunate to serve about 65 people, you know, who were obviously struggling in Albury. And then I had enough food left over to send back to the care van head office, where they were packaging them up into food containers to then send out to temporary housing areas in the local area. So people that weren't able to come into the centre of Albury still got to eat our food and experience, you know, some low and slow. It was all round just a fantastic experience, yet surprisingly was a lot easier than I thought. You know, even people that weren't there to eat were just happy to come by, say hello, say, I think it's excellent what you're doing, thanks for being here. So we really felt the love from the, you know, from the town. Once again, similar to, you know, Hamilton and Bendigo, you know, Charlotte hopped in again and helped, which was awesome. So I feel like this is going to be a constant thing. I probably don't need to say that she's in there helping, because I think she's going to be helping at every stop from here on. Cara's parents have been sort of following us along, sort of, you know, helping us out. And when Charlotte forgoes going to the park with her sister and sightseeing and doing some fun stuff, when she doesn't want to do that but she wants to come and help us, that shows us that she's really getting lots out of this whole experience. Yeah, which was just wonderful. So Carevan had said to me that they were doing a sausage sizzle on Saturday. So we served barbecue on Thursday, and they were doing a sausage sizzle on Saturday. And I was really happy to organise their snags for them. So I was happy to so I suppose not only did we feed 65 people on site on Thursday, and then another 30 people that evening in temporary housing, we've probably I gave them enough food to probably feed another 50 people as well on the Saturday after. So yeah, to be able to, I guess, supply food for them for two events is awesome. And you know, that's what I'm here for, I suppose, is to be able to offer as much help as I possibly can to these organisations. Throughout service was extremely honoured to have the Deputy Mayor, Jessica Callahan. She was really excited to have us, really excited to hear about where we've been, who we've fed, where we're heading after here. And yeah, I think she posted some photos on her Insta. I suppose to have any support from council is just, you know, is awesome. Had a couple of other councillors there as well. What really came through to me was just the amount of respect, I guess, that the town has for the Carevan Foundation. You know, they're an established foundation. They've been doing awesome things for lots of years, and everyone that I spoke to about partnering up with them, everyone just raved about how supportive Carevan are for the homeless in Albury.
Smoke and Soul's local charity partner in Albury, New South Wales, is Carevan Foundation. It's great to have John from Carevan joining us on the pod. John, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
John, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need in Albury?
16 years ago, I read an article in the local paper, the Border Mail, and it's easier to turn away than to care, and it was about poverty and just general in our region, which is, you know, northeast Victoria and southern New South Wales, so Albury Wodonga area, and it was quite moving, and I felt I needed to do something, and I started the Carevan Foundation.
In the last couple of years, have you seen much more demand for your services?
Oh, there's definitely been an increase. We have a number of different programs, so we don't just give reactive programs, we do proactive programs as well. And you find that, you know, COVID was a big hit during the COVID time because of the fact that, you know, people couldn't get together to be fed. So we had to diversify during that period and go to doing a lot of meal deliveries because the people couldn't gather. And in that time, we've now opened up feeding people in temporary accommodation and those living in lower socioeconomic housing. And we've seen a huge increase in that. And definitely in the last couple of years, you've seen a huge increase in rough sleepers as well. Our country areas are quite often, you know, when I started 16 years ago, there wasn't the obvious rough sleeper environment. It was more couch sleepers and just families doing it really tough and not being able to put meals on the table. But the amount of rough sleepers now has increased greatly, so it's a certain indication of how bad the situation's getting.
So the services that you offer, obviously I'm aware of the food service that you do. What are the other services that you offer?
We do a school lunch service. We do about 100 on a Monday and 100 on a Wednesday of providing 13 different schools across the region with lunches, a sandwich, some fruit and a healthy cookie. And we do that during the weekday for kids that would otherwise not have lunch, and that can impact on their behavioural problems and also on their learning ability. So that's one program. We have the Sun Smiles program because my background is in dentistry. I used to be an orthodontist. We started going into those disadvantaged primary schools and teaching them how to brush their teeth. Before COVID, we were also checking them out in their libraries or gymnasiums and setting up a dental clinic there. But since then, the restrictions are such that we're basically now keeping it to an educational program and giving them a sample pack with toothbrush, toothpaste, little egg timer, literature, storybooks that my manager of Sun Smiles has written. So it's a really proactive policy to decrease the amount of dental disease in these lower socioeconomic areas in schools, because a lot of the people that their parents that come to the care van, a lot of them have serious dental problems and have many missing teeth. And as a result, they have associated diabetes and cardiovascular problems, which are associated with periodontal disease.
So Dave Meadows and his family were with you last Thursday. Can you tell me about what they did and how your community responded?
Yeah, Dave and the family, they brought a recognition of, you know, homelessness to the area that brought a few of our organisations together. I think the great thing of what he's doing is just highlighting the problems that are evident because, you know, Kerry O'Brien interviewed me at one stage during a fundraiser and he said, John, you've picked probably one of the hardest charities to raise funds for because, you know, lots of people know someone with cancer or lots of people, you know, feel for children with problems, but not a lot of people know the faceless people that are out there that have lost their identity, have become outside of mainstream society. And, you know, what we need to do is give them a sense of identity and a sense of belonging and bring them back towards mainstream society and help them. We're totally non-judgmental, so we don't care about their past. We'll help them and help them in the present and try to put them on a better pathway for the future.
People in the local area are listening. How can they help you?
Obviously through donations, but through volunteering. You know, we've created an icon here with Carevan in that it's a volunteer-based workforce, untapped otherwise. It's showed that a community can care. And it's been, you know, I've helped others set up the same sort of organisation in Wangaratta, Wagga, Griffith and Blacktown in Sydney. They've all got Carevans with the same purpose, the same logo. It's been like sort of a free franchise to help those people in need.
What a wonderful initiative. And how do people get in contact with you?
On our website, the Carevan website. Just look up Carevan Albury and you'll find our website. As I say, we're always looking for volunteers. They're the ones that make the organisation. They're the ones why we've succeeded over the years and won awards and things is because of that base volunteer network.
John, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Another impactful week for Dave and Cara and their Smoke and Soul project. Thanks to Matt from Mad Cow and John from Carevan for sharing the work they do in their local communities of Bendigo and Albury. And thank you for listening and following Dave and Cara's Smoke and Soul project. Please follow and share the podcast with your family and friends. A big shout out to those who have contributed to the Smoke and Soul project and to those who continue to do so, as well as Phantom Screens, Charcoal Kings, Lane's Barbecue, Just Tinted, and Ampol Australia with their Ampol Cash fuel card. Dave and Cara have packed up and are heading across to Wagga Wagga and Canberra for week 3 of the Smoke and Soul project. I look forward to catching up with them then and with you for our next episode of the Smoke and Soul project. I'm Wallace Long. Thanks for listening.